The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tomorrow on ESPN, a WNBA doubleheader starting noon Eastern with the league's top scorer, Asia Wilson, and the Aces going for their seventh straight win against the Mystics. And that's followed by Candace Parker and the Sparks taking on the Fever. Both games are tomorrow on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, this breaking news out of the NBA in just the last few minutes, and this from Chicago, our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, the Bulls have dismissed head coach Jim Boylan. He had been their coach since December of 2018. Chicago was 39-84 in his tenure. The team says the search for a new coach will begin immediately. So that's some news out of the NBA as we cross the top of the hour here just after 10 a.m. in the East. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. Be with you for the next hour. If you're tuning in to see First Take, they will be live starting at 11 a.m. Eastern for a full 2 hours. We are jam-packed with a ton of really important news from around college and pro football and more. But we begin with the NBA's game of the night in the bubble, the performance of the night, and the player of the restart. Damian Lillard has been spectacular. And if you don't love watching him play, you don't love basketball. They needed this win to get into the next round, to move it forward. And his team was down 7. And then Dame did that. 8 of 14 from 3, pulling up from the logo and knocking it down. They're within 4. A few possessions later, needs to find some space. Drills another 3, single-handedly, trying to shoot his team into the playoffs. Down by 1. Still down 1. Under 3 to go. Lillard, this time, looking for Nurkic. Working hard inside the big fella. Yes, he had 22. Blazers up 1. Nets possession. They're fighting. Caris LeVert. Look at the move. Look at the body control. 16 of 29. Nets are up 1. Next Blazer possession. Lillard, Gary, Trent, Jr. Count all 3 from the corner. 16 off the bench for him. Blazers up a deuce. Under a minute 15 to go. Lillard, look how hard he's working. You think it doesn't mean anything to him? Coming up from behind LeVert, diving to cause the steal. Great defense, great effort by Damian Lillard. Blazers get the ball and a chance to extend the lead. And now it's Dame's backcourt mate, C.J. McCollum. Yes, 2 of his 25. Blazers up 4. LeVert, if that was a question, he's got the answer. Hoop in the harm, knocks down the foul shot. He had 37. Nets are within 1. Blazers would miss. One last chance for the Nets. Can they knock out the Portland Trail Blazers? No, they can't. LeVert, no good. Blazers hold on. They win a wild one. Dame Lillard, 42 points, 12 assists. On they go. They will play Memphis in the play-in game on Saturday. And Lillard has been spectacular. According to Elias, he becomes the first player ever to end the regular season with 3 straight 40-point games. His 154 combined points over that span, by far the most by any player in the last 3 games of the season. More hopes as we continue. Meanwhile, there was a very interesting story from the NFL. The Seahawks waived someone you had probably never heard of. Rookie cornerback Kema Sivering, after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. The NFL Network first reported the circumstances of this release, noting that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. Now, when we opened our show with this morning, Dominique Foxworth, because this is sort of the way he is, you chose to lean into the funny. And candidly, it was funny the way you said it. So I'll give you one moment to do that again before we get to an entirely different angle on this. How should one look at the actions of this corner from the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I mean, I think earlier I talked about how being a corner, you have to take risk and you have to want it more than the next guy. And so maybe it bodes well for the type of player that he is. But now the more that I think about it, I think that taking those risks are bad. He could be the type of guy who's a boomer bust guy. He's going to get you a pick 6 and then he's going to give up 2 touchdowns in the same half. So I'm on the fence now. I was high on signing him, but now I'm a little concerned. The more I think about it as the day goes on, I think I get a little bit more practical, Greeny.
That's fair. In the meantime, he won't get a chance to do any of those things because they waived him immediately. And the question, Rob Ninkovich, is if this were to happen with a much more important player, let's say this was a player who was critical to the team's plans rather than someone who probably wouldn't have made the team anyway, how do you think something like this would be handled, and how have situations similar to this been handled in the past?
Well, they wouldn't cut him, I can guarantee that. So
I'm going to go back into training camp with the Patriots. I think it was 2014. Jimmy Johnson came in and talked to the team, and he had talked about a situation where he is the head coach. I think it was in Miami at the time. Or no, it was Dallas. Sorry, he was with Dallas. It was in Miami when they asked him. It's out there. You can see the article. But he told the team that somebody fell asleep in the meetings, and it was a young kid that really didn't have any stance on the team. And so they released him. And somebody asked him in Miami, hey, if that was Troy Aikman, would you have released him? And he said, no, I would have went over and tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, Troy, wake up. So his point was, be a guy that I come and tap on the shoulder and say, wake up, because obviously you have a lot of value to the team. And if you don't have value to the team, well, they're going to cut you.
See, I think, Kimberly, my first thought is, how about don't be the guy who falls asleep in the meeting? Or don't be the guy who smuggles the woman into the hotel dressed as one of your teammates? I don't ask for a lot, but, I mean, is that too much? What do you think of this whole thing?
I mean, here's the issue. We're talking about human beings, so there are no foolproof plans here. There's no guarantee that every player will do exactly what they're supposed to do, although that's the hope. Given how strange a time we're living in, I mean, even one NFL GM told me he didn't do the team hotel because you know why? Because he knew guys would try to sneak out to go see their ladies or lady. And what do we have here? A situation where a guy tried to smuggle in his lady or female friend visitor. I mean, we're dealing with human emotions at a really weird time in society, so...
I understand that. I guess, Dominique, what I'm saying is, particularly in these circumstances, I need to ask you a serious question, but your being on the verge of laughing is making me be on the verge of laughing.
All right, serious.
When I say, doesn't this have to be dealt with differently? Which is to say, it's one thing in the old days, you know, when legendary stories about players, right. You know, just trying to sneak women into the dorm during training camp and all that kind of stuff. Right. But there's a totally different situation, right? The level of professionalism that is going to be required on everybody's part. If they're going to manage to play a football season, let everyone get paid what they want to get paid and everything else. I mean, everyone is going to have to take that seriously, right?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think they should take it seriously, and it's on the players to try to help encourage the other guys to do the right thing, to protect all of their money and the season, and to give us all the things that we want. However, if the plan for the NFL to have a season is to hope that everyone is going to isolate themselves, go to work, especially guys who are young and single and live alone. They're going to go to work and then go home and not call anybody, not invite anybody over. I think that while we can put the pressure on the players to continue to do this, I think that we should actually look at the people who looked at this and said, this is a good plan, and say, maybe this is a bad plan if you're relying on people to be perfect. Not just young 20-something-year-old men. Obviously, we are very stupid at that age. But anybody, you are asking for the expectation that 1,600 guys are going to be perfect. Now, I don't think that's a realistic expectation. I guess best case scenario is just a few guys go out and make some bad decisions and just a few guys contract it. But to think that no one's going to, and this is just during training camp. This is not even when they have the ability to go back to their apartments and their homes. This is training camp where you are locked down. And I guarantee you, this is the only one we heard of, but this ain't the only one who's doing it or the only one who has tried and probably succeeded. So I just think it's foolish for us to sit here. And obviously we can reprimand him and say that was dumb, but it's foolish for us to sit here and think that this isn't going to happen. And somehow all the players in the NFL are just going to go to work, go home. I don't think that I could do that when I was that age.
Tragically, that's all I did when I was that age, but that's a whole other story for a whole other time. Okay, let me get to something that did happen in the NFL yesterday. It was a very good day to be a tight end. George Kittle and the 49ers agreed to a 5-year, $75 million extension, making him the highest paid tight end in NFL history. And then just a few hours later, Travis Kelce agreed to a 4-year extension with Kansas City worth a little over $57 million. Richard Sherman reacted to the Kittle news by tweeting, well-deserved, best in the business. I don't think there's any question of that. Jeremy Fowler had the reporting on all this. Jeremy, what's been the reaction around the league to these two guys getting these huge deals?
Well, Greeny, sources I talked to are just relieved that money is being spent and players are getting paid. It's been a very slow 4 to 5 months due to COVID-19, so it's a good sign for the health of the league. And several execs I spoke to are very intrigued by what the Chiefs are doing. A couple months ago, they had about $1 million in salary cap space. Since then, they've re-signed Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes. And so they've done so by selling championship dreams. Hey, let's get the band back together. Let's give this runs for 4, 5, 6 years and go chase world championships. And in the case of Kelce, said, hey, maybe take a backloaded deal, a longer term deal that gives us flexibility on the salary cap. And when Patrick Mahomes is already doing so, other guys follow suit.
You know, there's a lot of people out there I heard from saying that as much as Kittle got, and by tight end standard, it was huge, that he is still underpaid given everything he means to that team. Did you hear that from people inside the business?
Yes, a source said that Kittle privately feels that way. His camp feels that way because they went into this process saying he is an elite playmaker regardless of position. And wide receivers, good ones, make $18 to $20 million a year. So that was the initial aim. The 49ers were never going to go that far because it's a pandemic and the tight end market is suppressed. Guys were only making about $10 million per year. So Kittle did his very best by going after guarantees. He got $40 million in guarantees, $30 million up front, $15 million per year. That's pretty good money in these very uncertain times, so both parties are happy.
Yes, Jerry Jones told me, it's not a stable time to be making generational money kind of decisions. Well done, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And let me just put some numbers up there. While Kittle's extension is the most ever for a tight end, he's a bargain when compared to wide receivers. He would be 10th in guaranteed money and 11th in average per year. And so as I bring the rest of my crew back in here, Kimberly, if I were to say to you that George Kittle is tremendously underpaid relative to what he means, and that he actually should have gotten MVP consideration last year, would you tell me that I'm overstating it?
I think he is the MVP of the 49ers. I think what he's able to do, the guy is an assault on the senses. He's this crazy cyborg, you know, part offensive lineman, part running back, part wide receiver. I think it's criminal that he's making less money per year than some wide receivers in the NFL because he does so much. And the guy, he wants to destroy you in pass pro just as much as he wants to bowl you over just for to add more yaks to his stats. Like, the guy has such infectious energy. And people are going to bring up 5 touchdowns last year. I'm not trying to hear it, because what makes Kittle so good is that he affects the game everywhere on the field, and it doesn't always show up in the stat box.
Absolutely. And for what it's worth, he caught 85 balls for over 1,000 yards back-to-back seasons. And I want my two defensive guys to just – let's just talk about this play. This might have been my favorite play of the entire NFL season. Let's just watch what George Kittle did in a game against the New Orleans Saints. Kalen, let's put that play up there if we can. Here we go. Dominique, just describe what you see right here.
I see something frightening and uncomfortable. I'm going to have to cover my eyes, Greeny. I'm not prepared to see defensive backs dragged like that. The stiff arm. Don't replay that anymore. I might quit. I can't watch it again. It's violent, disgusting, despicable.
Nick,
you guys should be ashamed of yourself.
You're a linebacker. What are you doing with this guy? What are you doing to try and stop this guy?
This play gets me very angry, because in the New England Patriots and all the things that you go through during the week, you know that the San Francisco 49ers in this particular time of the game, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go to Kittle. He's going to this guy. And you don't help him out. You don't jam him at the line. You don't put two guys on him. You got your teammates jumping on the sidelines up and down because they know they just lost the game because you didn't go out there and execute and stop this guy. You got to jam him. You got to have a D-end. I'd have a D-end out there jamming him or something. You can't just let him run down the field free. It angers me to see that play. Look, that's what it does.
I love how this makes them sick. I love it.
MVP is a quarterback's award. If you extend it beyond the quarterbacks, last year we talked about Michael Thomas. We talked about Christian McCaffrey. Someone should have brought this guy up because they were basically the best team in the NFC from week one all the way to the end, Nick, and he is by far their most important player. Why are you shaking your head at me?
They were the best team because of that defense. Like, let's look at Nick Bosa. Look at Richard Sherman. To see, yeah, you want to talk about an MVP of a team, you talk about the defense because that's what carried them. And to be honest, I love Kittle. He's great. He's the most important player on that offense. But you know what that offense was for the first 7 weeks of the season? They were mediocre. They were 16th by EPA. You know what happened? They went and traded for Emmanuel Sanders, a big play receiver, and then they jumped to 6th for the second half of the season, to 6th by efficiency by EPA. So he has a great impact. He deserves more money than he's getting. But MVP of that team, a defensive team that had 9 points the week before they signed Emmanuel Sanders and then scored 51 the following week. Like, it's hard for me to go to the distance and say that he's the MVP of the whole team.
Now, don't give me all these facts. I'm not interested in your facts. I'm
You're
making an
hater.
Emotional argument.
He's a hater.
He is a hater. All right, we'll take a break here. Coming up, for as good as Zion Williamson was in his very limited time in the NBA this season, he knows he's got a lot of work to do. How can he get better? We'll go in search of that answer. Plus, a Cowboys legend made a comparison between this year's team and a legendary NBA team. Stephen A. will weigh in on that, and I can't wait. But before we'll do any of that, we'll do this. Sneaky Hembo, now that the Spurs have been eliminated, which NBA team has the longest active streak of making the playoffs? Spoiler alert, it's not the Knicks. Back in a moment. Get up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up and Let's Run the Floor around the NBA action in the bubble last night. The Grizzlies clinch a berth in the Western Conference play-in game by beating Milwaukee. They got triple-doubles from both Ja Morant and Jonas Valanciunas, so they advance, and they will play Portland in the play-in game tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Suns completed what was a magical undefeated run in the bubble. They beat the Mavs. With Portland winning yesterday, the Suns didn't get into the play-in game, but they did win 8 straight to end the season. That's the longest in NBA history by a team that missed the playoffs, so maybe something to build on. And speaking of missing the playoffs, San Antonio's record-tying run of 22 consecutive postseason appearances is over. The Spurs were eliminated from contention for a Western Conference play-in game despite winning yesterday. Again, 22 consecutive years in the playoffs for Greg Popovich's team, and that comes to an end. Meanwhile, today on ESPN, regular season wraps up with a triple header, 4 Eastern, Heat and Pacers. Then you got the Clippers and Thunder, and then the Sixers and Rockets. All 3 games today on ESPN and the ESPN app. And brings us to Sneaky Hembo. Kendrick Perkins, you're in the spotlight. Here's the question. Now with San Antonio eliminated, which team has the longest active streak of making the playoffs? Who do you think?
I would have to go with the Boston Celtics, Green.
Well, that is incorrect, Kendrick. The answer is the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets have made it 8 consecutive seasons, and that is the current record. I think we just sprung that on Kendrick in his defense. I think he only knew he was answering the question for about 15 seconds. They're not giving Hembo credit for that one. Meanwhile, let's talk about this kid. Zion's rookie season came to an end as the Pelicans will not be participating in the playoffs. And with injuries, he played in just 24 games this season. Did average 22.5 points and 6 boards. Here's Zion on what he'll be focusing on this offseason.
Talk to my coaches, see what I need to do better from their point of view. You know, talk to my the player development coach as well, see what I need to do better from their point of view. And, you know, just work on every part of my game and, you know, work on getting my body to where it needs to be.
Kendrick, what does that mean to you? And hear him say, Zach Lowe joins us as well. Kendrick, when you hear him say he needs to get his body where it needs to be, what does that mean?
Well, that means that he got to go in this offseason, Green, and he got to go on a serious diet. Listen, Zion is 6'6", 285 to 290 pounds. He have to drop at least 35 to 40 pounds, in my opinion, to be able to sustain playing 35 minutes plus a game. This is your franchise guy. And look, I played down there in New Orleans, so I know how those good people are. When those good people come up to you saying, hey, baby, I got this fried gator, I got this fried catfish, it's hard to tell them no. But listen, he gotta work on that. And if I'm him, I'm reaching out to players right now of LeBron James, and reaching out for advice. You look at even a guy like Jokic in Denver, who dropped a ton of weight, came back over the pandemic looking phenomenal. Everybody is losing weight because they know that the game is faster and it's the pace is faster, and he have to be able to drop his weight to be able to sustain and play as a franchise player.
It's a really important point. And so, Zach, with 1 year in the books now, what do we say of Zion Williamson, his place in the league and his expected future?
I think it's still going to be great, but Perk is right. He's got to lose weight. I mean, he's just too heavy. He's too big. And you know, the Ja Zion debate, it's a discussion now. I still lean Zion just because a positionless big man who can pass like that and get to the basket anytime he wants, that's like the holy grail of NBA players. But the health concerns, the totally unique body type and what his rookie season has gone like, I mean, the long-term trajectory is now unclear. And I agree with Perk. Hire a chef. The Pelicans have to go in there and make sure they know what he's eating for every meal. They got to get the fitness regimen right because he's got to come back. Like Perk said, he's a franchise player. He's got to play 30, 35 minutes a game. It can't be this 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, night off. Like, you're the guy.
Zach, let me turn the topic to another superstar, and that's Russell Westbrook. He's hurt with the Rockets looking to go in and do some damage in these playoffs. He has a strained quad. It's not quite clear exactly how much time he'll be out. What does this mean for the Rockets' chances of making a deep playoff run?
Well, deep is like obviously they're going to need him to go deep. I still think they can beat the Thunder even if he misses most of that series. They've been dynamite all year with just Harden on the floor. And yeah, teams are now going to double Harden with Russ out. But guess what? Now there's shooters everywhere. There's not one non-shooter on the floor with Harden. So they're going to keep bombing threes. To me, the worry is the 12 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is when Harden is on the bench. Houston never plays with both of those guys on the bench. How are they going to tread water in those minutes? If they lose those minutes big time, Oklahoma City has a chance to win that series. But I think they can survive this round or most of it without Russ because Harden is just that good. But Oklahoma City for sure has a chance.
Yeah, so we mentioned it. It's OKC they're playing, Perk, and you played with both Harden and Russell on the Thunder. How important is it to them, do you think, to win this series?
Well, it's very important to them to win it, but it's not going to be easy, Greeny, especially without Russ. I had this series going 6 to 7 games, Houston winning it with a healthy Russ. And without Russ, I don't know. When you look at this Oklahoma City team, they're very dangerous. They have a sixth man of the year candidate in Dennis Schroeder, who's giving you 19 points a game. You have a veteran in Gallo, who's giving you 20 a game. A young star in Shea Alexander, who's giving you 20 a game. And then you have the ultimate leader of MVP in my eyes and Chris Paul. So you can't take this Thunder team lightly. They play stingy on the defensive end. So the Rockets got their hands full with or without Russell Westbrook. That's why the Thunder are in the fifth seed.
Absolutely. All right, you guys rest up this weekend because starting next week, Monday, the playoffs begin, and we are going to go full on into it. And I'm going to need both of you guys regularly as we take on the NBA playoffs.
Well, you just make sure you bring me on with Zach Lowe.
Listen, everyone loves the two of you guys together. We love it.
All right, Perk.
Enjoy some fried gator this weekend or whatever it is you were talking about. Oh, we lost him. All right, take a quick break here. We'll come back with Stephen A. Smith. He's been talking a lot about companionship lately. I'm sorry. What did he think of the Seahawks releasing a player seeking that yesterday? I'll compose myself, and we'll be back in just a moment. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let me run you through the bases here and catch up with all the baseball action from yesterday. It starts with Yu Darvish. How good was he? Continues his dominance this season. Took a no-hitter into the 7th, 11 strikeouts. Cubs beat the Brewers 4-2. Cubs are 13-3 this season. That is the best record in the majors. Elsewhere, the Tampa Bay Rays dominated the Red Sox 17-8, completing a 4-game sweep. During the series, Tampa scored 42 runs, most in franchise for history for a 4-game series. Rays have won 6 straight now overall. They're 1 game behind the Yankees in a good race in the American League East. How about Mookie Betts? What a day he had. The Dodgers dismantled the Padres 11-2, and Betts went 4-for-4, 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. He now has 6 career 3 home run games, which is tied for the most in baseball history with Johnny Mize and Sammy Sosa. And I'm super excited to tell you about this. If you're not aware, I'm coming back to the radio, ESPN Radio, coast to coast, starting Monday, every weekday, 12 to 2 Eastern time. So depending on where you are, you'll hear me. I'll be all over it. Max Kellerman will follow me immediately. We'll both still do our TV shows, then go do our radio shows, and we'll be followed by the dynamic new team of Shanae and Mike Golic Jr. They're terrific. A lot of energy. I think you're going to have a wonderful time. It's our revamped ESPN Radio lineup, and we hope you will enjoy it.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question. Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
All right, Dominique is here, and I have a series of hard-hitting questions for Unique. And the first one I will preface by saying that we were talking yesterday about whether or not Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback ever to play. So I will ask you, Who was the most gifted thrower of the football that you ever saw?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them, obviously. If we're going just gifted thrower and not necessarily great players, I'm going Dan Marino. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment and say Patrick Mahomes, though he is exceptional. I think with Dan Marino, and this was a bit before my time, so it is going back and watching a little tape to get a full understanding, but his accuracy and arm strength and what he did to that Dolphins team when he showed up despite never winning a Super Bowl, his ability of being just a great quarterback from day one through the end of his career with mostly just strictly arm strength and accuracy and not necessarily all the other athleticism that we see in guys like John Elway, I think puts Dan Marino top of the list, I think.
Unquestionably didn't have the athleticism. Can't argue with his throwing of the football. Most important part of it, quick release. No one could get to that guy. He got rid of the ball so fast. That said, in your career, next question, who was the toughest quarterback to prepare for?
Easiest question you ever asked me. It's Peyton Manning. And it's not. He didn't have the arm strength. He did have incredible accuracy. I hope this isn't me getting scored on. It is me getting scored on, Greeny. I hate you. Oh, two times in the same game. How dare you, Mike? But it wasn't his arm strength or accuracy as much as it was his knowledge. And he would scan the whole field and know what coverage you were in because he could find a defensive lineman that would tip off his position and would tip off what coverage you were in. It felt like you could never really fool him. The most success I had with him against him was when we would just line up and not move. And we were out of position for whatever blitz we were running or whatever coverage we were running. It didn't matter because they didn't run tricky plays or a bunch of new plays. All he did was come to the line of scrimmage, force you to show your hand, and then change the play to the best play, the perfect play to beat you. So if you stayed kind of stagnant in your position, then you were better off because then he wouldn't know what you were doing and he would have to read while the play was happening, which made it a little bit more difficult, but he still is pretty difficult. And I don't think I ever beat him. We held him to like 13 points one time, I think, in Baltimore, but I never beat him from Denver to Atlanta to Baltimore.
A lot of people didn't. All right, final one, and this is changing up the topics. What is one word you would use to describe the last week of college football?
I think it's been revealing for a lot of people. I think it's put on Front Street all the things that you and I and everyone else knows about college sports, how important it is to these institutions and how willingly they and how, I guess, cavalier they are with the health and safety of the engine of this, which is the players. And it's not just that they make a lot of money. We understand that these, especially the state institutions, like they're reliant on municipalities to give them money. And it's a little easier to get money when your football team is balling out and when you're popular. And I think it also helps you get applications when your football team is balling out and they're popular. Like, football teams really influence so much of the academic process and the financial process of the institutions. I think it's been revealing for so many people who may not have understood this before today.
I agree. There's another part of this that I think people are learning about, and that is the comparative lack of power and authority that the NCAA and its president, Mark Emmert, has. And I want to play that for you as we sort of take this conversation a little deeper. Mark Emmert yesterday made it clear the NCAA has no authority to tell the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, or anyone else for that matter, that they can't play college football this fall. This is what he said with regard to his limited power.
I get that it's frustrating that some conferences are playing and some aren't. Right now, that's just the way it has to be. And when people say, well, if we just had a czar that come in and say, we're going to make a decision, that'll be it. History, if it's taught us anything, people love the concept of a czar. They hate czars.
You could not tell the SEC, as you, Mark Emmert, or any NCAA president, you can't play college football.
That's correct. We have no authority to do that.
Okay, so I think a lot of people are probably surprised, confused, or some combination of both to hear that. Heather, what authority does the NCAA have over college football?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It doesn't have any. It doesn't have any, unless you're talking about the FCS. That's where they have the authority, and that's one of the championships, one of the 22 NCAA fall championships that will not be played this year because less than 50% of teams are going to be participating in sports. But look, Mark Emmert talked about from the days of the BCS beyond, for the past 100 years, college football has figured out its own way of determining a champion.
All right, and so all the NCAA does then is provide champions and then bring down punishment when people do things that are against their rules. So, Paul, he just said there, this is the way it has to be. And there's no way to have some sort of college football czar, a commissioner, if you will, the way they have in all professional sports. Is he right?
He is right. And I think as many times as we have pushed the idea, Greeny, of a college football czar, watching this week is an indicator of why we are not going to have a football czar. The 5 college commissioners of the Power 5 usually meet at a table and work collaboratively. They are in charge, essentially, of the college football playoff. But this week, you saw that fissure between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten versus the other 3. And I don't think if you put those 5 commissioners in a room and let them spend the next 28 days, they could come up with a leader. So, Emmert is right. And by the way, the reason why Emmert says all this is because he makes $3 million a year and he likes his job. And if he came out yesterday and did what he really wanted to do, in my opinion, and say college football should not go on in any division this fall, he probably would have been fired today. So he's like so many other people in this country when it involves COVID. They say what they're supposed to say, not what they really believe.
Well, so let me take it a step farther. If indeed, Paul, we have what many people expect someday to happen, which is the Power 5 conferences to break away in totality from the NCAA, would, in your vision of that, would they still have 5 separate leaders within it, or would that fall under the purview of one person who, in theory, was in charge?
Yeah, then somebody would have to be in charge, as crazy as that may sound when you compare it to the NCAA. And Greeny, we're still in the moment right now. We're still trying to see whether there'll be a college football season, a college basketball season. But when this is all over, and whenever that is, there is going to be an unbelievable day of reckoning. And I think the NCAA as we know it is not going to survive. Mark Emmert knows that. The NCAA basically provides one important event every year, and I'm not diminishing baseball and gymnastics. It's March Madness. It's a $1 billion event, and it feeds the beast. And if these five can come together when this is over and push forward, I think the NCAA will be dead, and you'll see a superstructure in college athletics, and I think it's coming pretty soon.
Is that, Heather, I'm not asking you to speculate on things that obviously no one knows with detail, but how would you describe the general sense around the sport that something like that is a real possibility in the foreseeable future?
Well, certainly in the midst of a pandemic, Greeny, I'm not going to rule anything out in terms of long-term implications. But I'll tell you this. Everybody has to remember that those Power Five conference commissioners, the athletic directors, they help comprise the NCAA. They are a part of it. People talk about the NCAA as if it's this building in Indianapolis, which it is. But what makes up the NCAA is every single institution of Division I, II, III that belongs to it, right? When we talk about the Football Oversight Committee, we're talking about the NCAA Football Oversight Committee. Shane Lyons, the athletic director at West Virginia, is a part of that. All of these people comprise the NCAA's committees. So they're when you talk about it, you're talking about the Power Five. So is it realistic for them to break away? I mean, it's possible, yes. But even if they were to do that, you still have to have some sort of oversight, some sort of compliance, and that type of enforcement that nobody likes, regardless of where it comes from.
Dominique, as you sit here and just listen to this whole conversation, as one who played the sport with the collegiate and the professional level, what are your thoughts?
I think you made the point earlier that Mark Emmert has the opportunity right now to speak up and do more than just throw his hands up and say that it's no longer my responsibility. I can do nothing about this. I think it's something about principle. And anyone who's ever had a job understands that you can't always say what you feel or say what you want to say at every moment. So I understand and I sympathize with Mark Emmert in that situation. But sometimes all of us know that there are certain situations that are just too big for you to sit idly by and throw your hands up. And if the medical advisors that we talked about earlier, I think it was Dr. Del Rio, is saying that this is the Titanic, I assume that he's telling Mark Emmert the same thing, if not more aggressively. And if Mark Emmert hears that from him and his decision is to come up and say, my hands are tied, I can do nothing about it. And if it's true, what Paul is suggesting, that it's about preserving his salary, that's something that I'd be uncomfortable living with. And I hope that Mark Emmert can do some soul searching and figure out if this is something that he feels strongly enough about, if the health and safety of his players is something he feels strongly enough about that he's going to listen to the medical advisor who says this is the Titanic and not allow players to board the Titanic for a measly $3 million. Like, he's already made plenty of money. I'm sure he's fine. So go ahead. If this is what you are hearing and this is what you genuinely believe, stand up and put them out there and say, this is not safe.
Yeah, that was a direct quote. They said, it feels like we're the Titanic and we're arguing over when to tell the band to play. Guys, thank you. I'll leave it there for the moment. But this obviously is a story we'll continue to cover. Meanwhile, we'll get back to our top story of the day in a moment. Is it possible that the last thing in the world you would have expected would derail the championship hopes of a team like the Seattle Seahawks? We'll explain why next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and this story, the Seahawks waived a rookie corner named Kima Severin after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. The NFL Network first reported the circumstances of his release, noting that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. It's a story that we have treated this morning as both hilarious, because it sort of is, and serious, because it sort of is that, too. We had some technical difficulties, but delighted to be able to get Stephen A. Smith for just a moment here before he gets ready to do First Take, which starts in 13 minutes. So, Steve, taking into account the context that you were talking on First Take the other day, and I really enjoyed watching it, about what Max described as conjugal visits in the NBA's bubble, I wonder your thoughts on this Seattle player being released for trying to smuggle a female into the training camp, dressed as a Seahawks player.
Well, I think the most important point to point out before we say anything else is that these athletes, particularly in the NBA with the bubble and now in the NFL, have been subjected to cruel and unusual punishment. The fact of the matter is these are very, very difficult times that they're living in right now. To sit up there and to say that they have to refrain from activities per se is a huge struggle, and we cannot minimize that. However, the Seattle Seahawks obviously have made the right decision because you have to set the tone and make sure someone recognizes the seriousness of the situation. By engaging in such an act with somebody that hasn't been approved, hasn't been tested, et cetera, you could potentially ruin a season because you can contaminate not just yourself, but your whole team. So they made the right decision in sending the message. But I think if there was anything that qualifies as a forgivable offense to some degree, assuming nobody's been harmed, if there's anything that requires a level of compassion and understanding and forgiveness, this would qualify. And I think it's important to say that.
I really don't know how to follow that up because these are really unusual circumstances. Let me actually finish it because I have to let you go by asking a real question, which is, Dominique brought this up earlier. If the plan is to do exactly what you're talking about, now the NBA is allowing the teams that are staying to have families and other visitors come into the bubble. If the plan is to expect that some of the young players who are not married and all that sort of thing are going to live the way we're talking about for 5 months, if that's just kind of the plan, Dominique is saying that is a plan that has no chance of success. What do you think?
He's absolutely right. I mean, again, cruel and unusual punishment. And I said that after weeks. Now you're talking months. I mean, there's no way this is going to happen. I promise you that right now. I mean, we just have to be real about this, Mike Greenberg. It's just very, very important, Greeny, to bring this up. There is no way, I repeat, no way, that a vast majority, and forget all, not even a vast majority, not even a minority of the players are going to subscribe to such rules. There's no way. Spending months engaging in celibacy. Stop it. Let's just stop it. I mean, we just have to. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it's ESPN, it's Mickey Mouse, but we have to be real. The chances of that succeeding are slim to none. Last time I checked, Greeny, you go home every day. So do you, Dominique. You understand what I'm saying? I see both of y'all smiling every day. I told Molly Kieran yesterday. I said, do you know I have not seen Jalen Rose frown in 5 years? I haven't seen a frown in 5 years, okay? I haven't seen a frown in 5 years. So I'm just like, we just have to be honest about what. There is no chance that is going to happen. You cannot subject professional athletes. You can't subject men to that kind of restriction. You just can't do it.
It's serious. I think it's fair to say men and women. Like, it is natural. Animals. Like, there are a few things.
Well, the men and women ain't playing football, Dominique.
No, I know. I'm just saying in general. To ask
I'm just saying men, right.
Who their natural instinct is, instinct is to eat and procreate. To not do it. Like, you're asking a whole lot. Like, that is your natural instinct, Mike Greenberg.
Yeah.
Don't lie, Mike. You just like me, Mike.
I'm not better. I've not got no arguments here whatsoever. Green, I just did not think when I woke up this morning that I would hear Dominique say our natural instinct is to eat and procreate. That just wasn't what I came to work today expecting to happen.
You want to disagree?
Final word, Steve. I said it on first take yesterday. I say it again today. You know what? Adam was created, you know something? And he walked and talked in the Garden of Eden with God himself. All he had to do was obey the rules. Who got him to disobey the rules?
Okay.
I mean,
Let's leave it at that.
It's just that simple. Listen, we understand. We just have to understand and accept. Peter McConville, your executive producer right there. I promise you he's in the control room dying laughing. But no man, and I repeat, no man is watching this segment right now and going like this. Stephen A. don't know what he's talking about. He's wrong. They know I'm right. They know I'm right. Somebody got to say it.
Okay. A, I have confirmation that Pete is laughing. I'm being told that in my ear. B, I have to let you go. 8 minutes from First Take. Thank you very much. We usually have him on much earlier, but we had technical difficulties getting him on. The great Stephen A. Smith. Neek, let me come back to you if I can. Oh, and Rob Ninkovich as well. I'm flustered. I mean, I'm thrown by that because I really don't know, Neek, where to go from there. So let me just turn to you and ask you to steer this in an entirely different direction. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think, so to be fair, everything that Stephen A. said, like, it makes perfect sense. And I told you about eating and procreating, like, this human instincts. But we don't exactly know what she was there for. Like, she could have been a masseuse. She might have been there for some holistic medicine. Like, he just brought someone in to maybe help him be a better football player. I assume that his eyes are on improving as a football player. So we should slow down with the assumptions that we're making about him, that this was about something more than just being the best that he can be. Yeah. My man, someone need to pick him up. Sign my dude.
Yeah, even I'm not buying that. Really quick, Ninkovich, only one way to finish it today. Very quickly, tell the story of your rookie year. Very quickly.
So very quickly, there was a guy, I know, Bob Ninkovich, had maybe a female come and see his room. And guess what? Married 14 years with 3 children. Follow your heart, follow love. You can't help it. It's just the way it is.
Seems like an appropriate message to finish up the program today. We will take a short time out and let you know that First Take is coming up next, and Stephen A. and all of the continued hilarity. And they'll talk about the brilliant Dame Lillard, who has been as good the last week or so as absolutely anyone in a long time. They're coming your way in 5 minutes right here on ESPN. We've got trouble with a capital T, which rhymes with C, which stands for college football. So much has happened. It's been like 2 years worth of activity.
Listen, what are we doing?
There is no leadership to point to. They can't agree on what to have for lunch. It's ridiculous.
Well, let me start out by saying I apologize for my tan lines I got on my face from wearing a mask out of practice.
That hit the nail on the head. It's 2020, bro.
I haven't seen Nebraska anywhere near the national championship game in about 20 years.
They ain't no today, baby. They ain't got their own TV contract. I'm working on a way to get their ass up out the conference.
Desmond Howard fired up this morning. The very unusual lighting that seems to exist wherever it is, Joey, that you're sitting right now.
My son came out in Ohio.
See, the sun did come up, even without a football season.
Listen, do I love the player? Yes. Do I want to fist fight the person? Yes. And I ain't scared.
All he did was wink. He just winked at me.
See what I'm saying?
He said, maybe next time. And I said,
So much fun this week with us here, but I want to finish by insisting we talk about golf, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And if you love golf, avert your eyes at how this match ended yesterday. A bizarre moment at the USAM round of 16. It's Tyler Strafacci and Segundo Oliva Pinto. They were tied through 17 holes. Pinto's caddy steps into the bunker, touches the sand. Just touches the sand in match play. The rule is that the caddy deliberately touches the sand. The player loses the hole. He loses on that mistake. Pinto goes home. Strafacci wins one up and advances to the quarterfinals. I got to tell you, it's my favorite sport. It hurt me to watch that. And the caddy apparently later said that he didn't do it, but as you watch the video there, he very clearly did it. So that is a very tough way for a guy to lose in the round of 16 of the U.S. Amateur. Anyway, with that thought, I thank you all for getting up with us all week long. And we have a huge weekend ahead. And then Monday, I'll be back here. And then I've got the radio show starting Monday. So we'll have a lot more time to spend together. But the fun continues right now. First Take is next on ESPN.